Hello again, everyone. I'm Don Wolf, and I love jazz, and we have the opportunity, privilege, and pleasure of visiting today with award-winning funk guitarist B.D. Lenz. B.D., welcome to I Love Jazz.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
You know, it's kind of sad that we talk on this occasion, having lost what I'm sure was at least in part one of your role models just yesterday.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You're speaking to a guitar player after Les Paul's has left us.
Well, I'm kind of interested as a young award-winning guitarist how you look upon the late 94-year-old guitarist Les Paul. What kind of an influence did he have on your career, if any?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I can't actually say he had an effect on my playing necessarily, but I mean, you know, the whole music, you know, the whole making of music and making of guitars and all that. I mean, it's undeniable that he had such a huge influence. I mean, you know, multi-tracking and, of course, his legendary Les Paul guitar, you know. So it hasn't affected my playing, but it's affected every musician, you know, in terms of making music.
We'll talk about your style here in a moment, but first let's talk a little bit about your guitar, because you talked about Les Paul as sort of an inventor of his sound and his guitar. And yet your sound and your guitar is entirely different. Tell those of us who are perhaps not aficionados of guitars, what are the major differences between those two types of guitars?
You mean between what he did and what do I do?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, his Les Paul guitar, the famous one that you see like everywhere. I mean, it's definitely a big, fat rock guitar. I mean, you know, rockers who want that huge sound play that guitar, you know, and most guitars have one lying around anyway, even if they're not rock guys. But, I mean, my own sound is a little funkier and jazzier, you know, so I do have a Les Paul in my closet, but, you know, it's not really my gigging guitar because I am more of a jazz player.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Les Paul may have started off a little bit as a jazz player, having appeared with the likes of Nat King Cole and others at Jazz at the Phil, but then he strayed a long way from the jazz field, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, I still think that, you know, in his own playing, he was still, you know, his heart was really in the jazz thing. You know, I've heard even late recordings of him where he's just playing jazz standards, which is, you know, great to hear.
Yeah, and in his last years where he was featured every Monday night at the Iridium, I know he was playing mostly jazz and with jazz musicians during those occasions, although he, of course, played with others. Well, let's talk a little bit about your funky sound. I'm interested in the definition of funky. It's one that I think many of my listeners are not familiar with, yet they love the sound. How do you describe funky music?
Well, you know, I mean, the style of music that I play, you know, it's definitely jazz-based. I mean, I'm a jazzer at heart. You know, I still play standards all the time and little combos. And, you know, but my own original music sort of has a little bit of the rock influence that I grew up with, you know, and a little bit of the funk backbeat, you know. You know, stuff. I mean, it's just stuff I grew up on, and undeniably, it's going to come out in my music. So, you know, my music's jazz based, but there's a little bit of groove in there that, you know, most old school jazzers don't really have in their stuff.
And you are the 2008 Rising Star winner, and one that has been very prolific and had your music appear most everywhere. In fact, I'm not sure there's a guitarist today that is as well known as you, particularly on the young scene. I guess you would say John Pizzarelli and his dad, Bucky Pizzarelli, in an entirely different vein, but
sure.
Your kind of music really appeals to young people.
You know, honestly, Don, I really think it appeals to, you know, a lot, you know, the whole span. Like, I mean, certainly younger people can latch onto it a little more. But I'm telling you that, you know, at shows and festivals we've played, you know, there have been people of all ages who really got into it. So I agree with you, but I also think that, you know, people of older generations can really enjoy it too. Because it's not really, you know, it's not like we're not really a rock band. I mean, we really are a jazz group at heart, but it does have a little bit of groove to it.
Well, you know, they tell us, those of us who do not love jazz like you and I do, that we've lost the younger audience, and perhaps that's why I put a little bit more of an emphasis on young listeners. Those of us who are in an older category, and I put myself there, proudly so, we always have loved jazz, but the young people today, they say, at least commercially, that we are not appealing to them. Yet an artist like you comes along and appeals across the board, but you do have the appeal of that younger audience that some of our older jazz musicians don't quite seem to have.
Well, it's definitely true, and part of that, as I've seen, playing around, is that, younger people my own age, don't really know these jazz standards. I mean, they don't know these songs, and frankly, I wouldn't know them either if I wasn't a jazz musician. So it's kind of understandable, when somebody's playing songs that you don't know, and I mean, it's just, that's, the jazz standards are pop tunes from an earlier age, so. When we play live, and we do play standards, but we also try to play, pop tunes that younger people might be able to relate to as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, kind of growing up in a later era, I've discovered the old stuff, but I've sort of mixed it in with the new stuff that I grew up on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your brand new CD, Hit It and Quit. Tell us a little bit about it and the artists with whom you appear, and I know you have a hell of a lineup on this brand new CD.
Yeah, it's an amazing band. Well, first of all, it's my sixth recording, and I realize most people probably haven't heard of me, but yeah, this is number six. It's on Opry Records, and yeah, I was fortunate enough to have gotten just this amazing band of Will Lee on bass. Of course, he's with the Letterman Band, and he's played on thousands of albums in New York. The drummer, his name is Joel Rosenblatt, who played with Spyro Gyra for like 10 years. Keyboard player, his name is Nick Rolfe. Great keyboard player. He's also an actor. Has been in a few, films. And then the sax player, who actually is the only one from my regular band, and his name is Jeff Mattoon.
I know that your music has appeared in over 90 television shows internationally. How do you explain that?
I don't know. I hope to think that, good music will be discovered no matter where it goes. I'm not that conceited to believe that, well, I wrote this amazing stuff and everybody wants to play it. But, I just hope that it's good and, and people want to use it in their work. I guess I have no other way of explaining it, but I'm just happy about it, so.
I think one thing that can be said about it is it's a fun music. I mean, it's music that makes you smile. And in this day and age, particularly with the economic situation being what it has been the last year or two, people want to feel good. So feel good music appeals more perhaps than other types of music.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I do agree that our music is can be fun and funky and sort of lighthearted sometimes. But at the same time, I'm not into, just appeasing an audience and playing what they want to hear and just to make them happy. I mean, there's got to be some, some soul to it and some, some depth as well.
Do you, I know you're planning another trip to Europe. You have made several trips to Europe, at least to the United Kingdom in the past, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
And what is your schedule for hitting the road this season?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking to make another UK trip in November. We've sort of, kind of built up a little thing over there. And, eventually, I mean, it's going to be a springboard to get into the mainland. I'm already planning to get some stuff in, in Germany and France and stuff. So, I mean, I definitely have long-term plans, but immediately we're going back to the UK.
You had mentioned that when you play live, you do occasionally mix in some of the Great American Songbook standards, as we call them. I don't see any of them on this year six release, Hit It and Quit. Have they been included in any of your prior releases?
Actually, no. All of my recordings is it's all completely original music. Except for, I mean, I did one cover tune on an older album, but it's all original stuff. And unfortunately, I have not yet, made my Jazz Standards album, which honestly is on my list to do someday. I mean, we play so much of it, I definitely want to record it at some point, but I'm really like such a prolific writer. I mean, I'm writing all the time that, I just want to get my own stuff out there, first before I go back to other people's music.
I guess I could ask you the question that Duke Ellington was always asked. And before I tell you what his answer, let's see what your answer would be.
Okay.
What's your favorite composition?
Ooh, oh man. Well, I will say actually a classical piece. Stravinsky's Firebird Suite is probably my favorite piece of music of all time.
Really? Well, having my show on the only classical music station in town and my doing the only non-classical music show, that being jazz, that's quite of an interesting answer. Well, I was kind of pulling your leg a little because Duke Ellington always said when people asked him what was his favorites out of all those great hits of his, he always would reply, the next one I'm working on.
Oh, that's good. I like that. All right, so next time I'm asked that question.
Now you've got another answer.
That's right.
Well, what about the sympathy for the common man? I want to know what your thoughts were when you composed that.
Well, I don't want to, get too heavy here. But, I mean, as you mentioned before, look at the climate we're in. And, you just think how hard it is for regular people to get by sometime, and I guess that's my thought in writing the song. I mean, it's just, you feel for people who, who are doing everything right, but it just, sometimes not enough, or, they still have to really struggle. I have a lot of sympathy for that.
Well, as a writer and a musician who mixes together the jazz, the rock, some of the soul, rhythm and blues, and funk, what advice do you have perhaps for our younger listeners who are studying music and who want to be a musician like B.D. Lenz?
Well, don't be a musician like B.D. Lenz. That's my first advice. But honestly, just one thing I believe during my whole career is just to be true, to what you want to write and what you want to do. I mean, my music does not fit into any category, and I frankly sound, kind of different than a lot of people, which is good and bad. I think I found my own voice, but, and it's a tough road to get there, but it's well worth it because, when you discover your own thing, it just, makes it just, I guess, more special or, more reflective of your beliefs. So, I mean, it's a tough road finding your own thing, but ultimately that's where you should be, And don't let anybody say, oh, well, your music sounds too much like this or there's not enough that. I mean, you really got to follow, what you want.
Good advice in almost every field. Tell us a little bit about your beginnings. How did you get started as a musician such as you are?
Well, I actually grew up playing saxophone. I started, in elementary school. And once I got to high school, I picked up a guitar, and, there was no stopping me then. But, I mean, to be honest, I wasn't always sure I wanted to be a professional musician. I actually, for a while, I was thinking about being a pilot. But music school went out, and I went to music school. And then, after school, it's just the long, hard path that every musician has to go of, pounding pavement and, I started my own project early on, which, looking back was actually kind of a good thing because, it's really blossomed into something. Most people just sort of join a band and they never really do their own thing. But I really started that early on, as well as being a sideman for other people and doing other types of music. But, it's just been a lot of hard work and a lot of pounding the pavement.
My hometown is very well known for guitar music and guitar books and guitar teachers and training. And yet I don't recall you ever having come to St. Louis. Have you been to St. Louis or any plans to maybe come here in the future?
I've never played in St. Louis, although I've been there a few times. I would love to play in St. Louis, and I'm hoping to get something happening there. I actually did play in Missouri a couple months back, but it was on the West Coast, and I forget the town name. It was actually like a corporate thing they flew us out for. But anyway, I would love to get and play in St. Louis. Definitely on my list.
Well, the name of the new CD is Hit It and Quit, And you can find that at most every record store. And if you don't have a record store listed near you, you could go online and find it at Amazon or CDBaby.com. And what about your website, BD?
Yeah, bdlens.com, of course. All the info is there. Actually, are there record stores anymore? Are they around anymore?
Well, you
I
know,
don't see.
interesting that you said that because I saw a program earlier this week or maybe last that said that vinyl is coming back. I
Oh,
can't
vinyl,
believe it.
wow.
I still love my records, but I thought I was one of these ancient museum pieces because I don't think anybody likes vinyl anymore but me. But I hear it's coming back in vogue, particularly on the East Coast in New York. Maybe you know more about that than I do.
I've heard whisperings myself, but I mean, I just haven't seen it a whole lot. But that would be a great news because I remember, growing up and listening to records and just staring at the inside of these things for hours, So that's great news. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, what do you think commercially about our music? You know, people tell us that we don't have a commercial appeal in jazz and in your kind of music, my kind of music, like we used to have. Yet you are very, very successful as a young artist. How do you feel about the commercial prospects of the music down the road?
Well, I do agree. It's really, really hard, and particularly in this country. I mean, there's just not a culture of jazz here, unfortunately. I mean, it's kind of sad because obviously, this is where it was, born. But it is. It's really hard. I find it struggling, myself, to be, profitable in making records. But there are other alternatives and there are other avenues to, to pursue these days. And one of them, as we talked about earlier, is the music licensing, to television and movies, and that's one way to sort of recoup costs. And there are other ways too. I mean, that's just, there's just different avenues now that you sort of have to pursue to make it worth it. But frankly, I mean, even if I lost a ton of money, I would still do it anyway. It's just something I have to do. It's just that artistic thing of expression that, I'll do whatever I have to do to get my music out there.
Well, and I'm sure you'll continue doing it successfully as you have been. I know that there is much more appeal abroad, both in the United Kingdom and even in Japan, for our kind of music than there is right here in our own country. And as a jazz specialist, if you will, I find that quite interesting that America's only original art form music is more popular abroad than it is here at home.
Yeah, it's really strange, and still, still the best jazz musicians, come from the United States. I mean, that itself hasn't changed either. And again, I mean, there's more of a jazz culture overseas, but the great people who make that music still come from here. It's a very weird thing, but yeah, I mean, I wish people here, would be more exposed to it and appreciate it more. But again, in doing what we do, we have to sort of make it appeal to people. I mean, I'm not saying I'm lowering my standards or anything or doing necessarily anything different, but I really try to make my music in a way that, is true to my art, yet will connect with people who are not necessarily familiar with jazz.
It sounds to me that you are like me and disagree with the categories and don't want to be put into any one category. And that's the way I am, and that's the way Duke Ellington, for example, was. But if we were to try to put you into a category, I don't know which one we'd put you into: funk, fusion, contemporary, even perhaps straight ahead, and maybe even smooth jazz. And yet, I'm interested in your comments on smooth jazz. I hear a little smooth jazz in your compositions and in your playing, but not all that much. And yet, people ask me, whatever happened to smooth jazz? It was here, it was big, it was popular for a while, and now it doesn't seem to be around anymore. What would be your comment to that?
Yeah, I would agree that, people could hear a little bit of that in my own music. And people who are not necessarily well versed in jazz have said to me, "Oh, your music sounds like smooth jazz," but I don't think it's smooth at all. I mean, frankly, no smooth jazz station would ever play my record. I mean, they say it's too quote unquote edgy or I mean, there's just too much depth in what I do, I believe, to call it smooth jazz. I mean, I never really liked that the type of, that whole thing. I mean, to me, it just got really bland and watered down. I mean, there's just, you know, there's just no depth, no, you know, nothing to it anymore. I mean, I think back, you know, in the origins of that style, there were some really great stuff. But again, it just kind of got degraded and became something, you know, to me, unlistenable. But, you know, that's just
my,
me.
My criticism of it was that it all started to sound the same, and nobody can say that about your music.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It did sound the same, and again, because there was just nothing really to it, you know. And I guess even, you know, even average listeners kind of got sick of it too. Maybe that's why it just went away.
Well, tell us what's the next project for you? I know this Hit It and Quit is the commercial project of the moment, but it's one I think you may have recorded last year, or certainly no later than the beginning of this year. So what are you working on now, and what lies ahead for you?
Still writing, always writing a new record. I actually spoke to my label, and we were talking about maybe start recording, you know, in the turn of the year, in the new year. I'm also having somebody record some live gigs. I hope to eventually put something live out, something I also want to do. So that's in the works, and someday I will get to that Jazz Standards album, something I really want to do as well.
Yeah, I would like that very much. I'd love to hear you on the Great American Songbook. Tell our listeners where they might be able to see you if they are coming up to the Northeast, to New York area. Where would they find you?
We are all over the place. If you come to the Northeast, particularly New Jersey, New York, definitely check my schedule. I mean, we're all over the place. And, you know, we had a very, very slow year, the beginning of the year, you know, which I attribute to the economy. But, you know, as of late, I mean, I've been playing, you know, 5-6 nights a week. So I'm around. Just check out my schedule.
That's B.D. Lenz and his new hit record. If you can win and call it still a record or a CD, it's Hit It and Quit. You call them records still? See,
I still do, yeah.
I have a hard time not referring to music as being records, even though they're called CDs these days.
I know. That's true.
Well, anyway, thanks so much for taking part of your schedule away to talk with us and visit with us, and continued success and good luck with your newest release, Hit It and Quit, and we hope that we do get to see you in St. Louis sometime in the near future. You have a strong supporter here in Dawn DeBlaze.
Absolutely. She's been amazing. And actually, my record label is based out of St. Louis as well, Operator Records. So, you know, I have people there, and it's definitely on my list to get there. So, and I really, really appreciate you having me on your show, Don. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and his name once again, B.D. Lenz, that's L-E-N-Z, Hit It and Quit. You can hear it on I Love Jazz. I'm Don Wolf, and I do love jazz.